This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Virginia Tech wins their first ACC basketball championship. Well, I tell you what now, there's some big wins in Hokie history in a lot of sports. This one's going to rank right up there, Pack.
Well, I love that they blew up bracketology. All the bracketologists, nobody got them all right. Mm-hmm. Surprise. All that time spent.
Yep.
Hokies take care of business. And we don't need no bracketology. We're just going to win the tournament.
Yeah.
Put a banner up.
Not the only champions in Blacksburg this week. Congratulations this morning to Rachel Baxter, who won the pole vault in the indoor nationals, right?
Won the natty. Yeah.
How about that?
Not the only national champion this weekend.
No, because Lindsay Butler also captured one, but Rachel captured the pole vault in the indoors.
Have you ever tried doing that?
There's no chance.
Seriously.
No, absolutely not.
Have you ever held a pole and you run down the
I would no. I've held the pole vault. Have I run with it? Absolutely not.
Have you just tried to run with it? Forget
no,
about
sir.
Getting upwards.
No.
I don't know how they do it. I really don't.
No. Yeah.
Unbelievable how they do that.
Yeah. Rachel's not the only national title winner.
Let me ask
indoors.
You something.
Yes, sir.
If you were chased by a pack of lions, could you do it?
Run with the pole?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think that's what it would take.
But I couldn't put it in the ground and do anything with it.
No, it'd have to be like wild boar, lions, tigers chasing you with the pole to get up, right? I mean, there's no way you could just do it.
No. I'm not even sure then I could do it.
I think I was being pitched by a pack of lions or tigers or wild boar. Okay. I think I could.
All right. We move on. Lindsay Butler also won a national championship for Virginia Tech in the 800 meters. And we have video. John Anderson, by the way, on the track and field coverage for ESPN. Look at Lindsay.
I wish I could do that.
BYU just trailing in second. Congratulations, Lindy. Lindsay.
It's
800
nice,
meters. Yes, sir.
Man, what a weekend for the Hokies.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yep. There were plenty of folks winning national titles out there representing the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Florida State got some love.
Trey Cunningham.
Have you seen the video of this, dude?
60 meters in the hurdles.
Huh?
Get your Ronaldo Nehemiahs
dude,
out here.
Have you seen this yet? Watch how fast this dude is. Man.
This guy
is
right
ridiculous.
Here.
Ridiculous.
Watch this. Bang.
He'd outrun the Ford F-150.
Look at that.
I mean, he's leaving people now.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, it's only 60 meters, and he's already...
Texas. What's that guy from Arizona State trying to do, Pac?
He's Drew Brooks in it.
Yeah, he is.
Mirror. Loss.
Whoa, look out.
Loss.
Oh, yeah, a little two-car collision there,
yeah,
on the
what,
back
Trey
end.
Trey Cunningham can fly,
yes, he
man.
Can. Way to go, Trey.
Woo.
Congratulations.
You ever tried doing the hurdle? Have you tried that before? Wes, look me in the eye.
No.
What would be harder for you, the hurdle or the pole vault?
Oh, it'd be a tie.
Wait, let me ask you this. What could you injure yourself worse doing? The pole vault or the hurdle?
Tie. Tie.
I'll tell you what, I appreciate the track and fielders now. Men and women, they are. What they do, I just wish I could
I threw
do
the
it.
Discus one time and almost killed somebody.
Now, I have thrown the Florida State javelin.
In the yard?
Actually, the neighbor. They were gone.
Because
they got like 2 acres in the back. I didn't really have enough room.
How'd that go for
it's
you?
The javelin's cool.
It's heavy, though, isn't
it's
it?
It's a little. Yeah. It's got. There's something to it. You got to be careful you don't pierce your ear.
How far did you get it thrown?
You can heave it.
No. How far?
About 25 yards.
You threw that 25 yards?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next. I don't know.
I said, why don't you go out there and catch it?
No. Yeah. Mike Young now 6-0 in conference finals. This is a stat that got brought out the other night. But I'm telling you, this guy in the Southern Conference at Wofford, when he got into the championship, he beat some really good teams.
Yeah, well, that's one thing. Beating North Carolina, beating Duke, beating Notre Dame, beating Clemson. He beat 1, 2, 3, and 10.
Yep.
Not in the Southern Conference
just
anymore.
How about this?
But this dude, what a run. I tell you, they played great, though. I mean, there was no fluke about what they did.
He can
they
flat coach,
they just wore
boy.
People
he
out.
He can flat coach it. Coach K makes his 22nd ACC tournament final in his 42nd season with the Blue Devils. That's an all-time record.
And that's going to stay.
For a while.
forever.
Yeah.
In this lifetime.
Yep.
There won't be anybody else that sees 22 ACC tournament finals on the men's side. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah. To me, the legacy he leaves is one of just the endurance of what has happened here. I mean, you go back and start measuring numbers, and we did the curtain call broadcast a week or so ago. That's the part about when you see 42 years, one place, that kind of success, postseason success, five national titles, all those things. That's the part that we're going to be talking 20 years from now about why he was so good.
20.
Well, I mean, now, whenever. But you move it to another generation and people who weren't around to see it, that's what it's going to be.
Well, when Dean Smith had the record and he had 21 ACC tournament, I never thought that would be touched.
Right.
And then here comes this Krzyzewski fella, and bam, yep, there's a 22 spot. And I know he didn't want it to end the way it did, but, man, like you said, he'll take a step back and look back at all the things he accomplished. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible number.
Hunter Couture wins the Case Award as the most valuable player of the event. And in the process, dang near set a single-game record for threes in a game. And he started off, and just it was like, Mark Williams, you can come on out here if you want to, big fella.
Every now and then it hit the rim.
Yeah.
I mean, it was perfect. He was just on fire.
Yeah,
it was like so good.
I mean, it was like in the driveway. I'm out here Saturday afternoon.
Just watch the net on these shots.
Yep. Look at that one off a catch.
No. I mean, they hadn't hit the net. He has not hit the rim yet.
Watch the bench. That's what I thought. I found myself watching the bench.
Not hit the rim.
I mean, they know. Yep. So he'll be good with us later in the show, by the way, coming up.
And by the way, when he makes his appearance, guess what? It'll be appearance number
three. There you go. How apropos. Yeah. Charlotte North is back on this list.
Every week, boys and girls.
She scored a touchdown Saturday.
7 goals, dude. Let me tell you, I keep telling you, this girl is a superstar.
Look at this one.
Wow.
Yeah, you had a shot at that. Great camera angle, too.
You got a better chance of doing the pole vault or stopping one of her shots.
Yeah, you might have knocked it down. Here we go. Look at this.
Wes.
Pole
vault
better
or stopping the shot?
I think
man, she
mass
awesome
index, I would think I have a better chance of stopping the shot.
You think you just kind of get in the way of it?
Yeah. Take one in the
whether you had a plan
chops
or not.
Yeah.
Just kind of throw your body in front
full
of it.
Look at that.
Man, she is. I'm telling you, she is a star. And for folks who are like, Pac, I've never watched field hockey before. You will
you need
this
to
spring
watch her.
I'm telling you, she's I mean, some lacrosse field hockey. What am I talking about? When you watch her play,
yeah, you
I mean,
watch her.
It's like something cool is getting ready to happen every
right
time she touches it.
Yeah. Hey, Clemson's women's golf team posted their first
right
win since 2018.
Golf school.
Catherine Schuster, by the way, congratulations. First outright 54-hole win
out there in Arizona. They won it.
Wow.
Brooks Country
Clover Cup, by the way.
Yeah, in Arizona. Golf school.
Okay. All right.
What do you mean okay?
I'm just hearing you. Carolina swept Pitt in baseball over the weekend. Congratulations
well,
to
man.
Scott Forbes' team.
Yep. And not the only one.
No. Georgia Tech, including a walk. Well, look. Ooh, hey, the all blues pack at the Bosch.
At least they're blue.
Look at Wes. I kind of like the navy hat with the blue jerseys. Battle of the Blues, the Royals.
Tar Heel baseball off to
yep
a good start.
A little chilly, I'm guessing, at the Bosch this
it was,
weekend.
I tell you, if you were down here in the Carolinas over the weekend, it
yeah
was brisk.
There you go. Yeah. So Carolina posts the sweep. And
they knocked off Coastal Carolina the week before.
Yeah.
Good series.
How about Georgia Tech?
Jackets are balling,
Jackets
too
need a walk-off, I think, to get the series started. They
yeah
had a little weather down there to work around, by the way. But Danny Hall's team posts the sweep of Virginia Tech.
Might have been the only thing that went wrong for the Hokies this weekend was the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Other
yep
than that, though, man, the Jackets, I tell you, this league is really talented
yep
in baseball. We're going to
yep
get into that more once the madness is over. But Georgia Tech and North Carolina off to really, really good starts within the league.
Yep. So
the only ones
go
to sweep.
By the way, the longest home game, 14 innings the other night. What in the world? 23 total innings on Sunday plus 9 more.
If only you were broadcasting that game.
Oh, yeah. That's
you love baseball.
I love long college baseball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite. We walk around, wait. Oh, yeah. Big fan.
You like all that. It gives you more additional airtime.
No, not really.
A chance for you to tell stories.
No, sir.
To ad lib.
No, sir. No.
To be creative.
Jeff Capel, best of the weekend. He is coming back to coach Pittsburgh in 22-23. There's so many different little detail items in what the Capel tenure at Pittsburgh has been about. First of all, I don't think you can discount the bottoming out that took place in under Kevin Stallings. Fair?
Yeah, he inherited a total train wreck.
Right.
There's no question.
And so Heather Like has put Jeff Capel. Now, John Hughley will be back for a junior year. Femi Odekali will be back. Nike Sabandi, Ithiel Horton, all expected to return to the roster.
There is
now, portal, we understand, transfers, all that.
There's two or three teams in this league on the men's side that really, really need big-time 22-23 bounce-back seasons. Big time.
Pitt would be one.
Pitt is certainly one of them.
Yep.
I'd say NC State's another one.
Mm-hmm. Florida State?
Florida State's going to be fine.
Okay.
I mean, what Leonard's built there is fine. But, okay. I mean, I think that if you're Pitt and NC State in particular,
mm-hmm.
The upcoming season is critical. You really can't afford to have another one of those, hey, we're 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th in the league.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I would. I think there was momentum built at the end for a couple schools that also want to have better years, Clemson being one. Had a home tough, good streak at the end, right? But you got to build momentum. You maybe push yourself a little bit there. You get P.J. Hall back. I would also have Boston College, I thought, did some good things at the end, but it was just Earl Grant's first year, right?
Yeah, I don't put B.C. in that category at all. I mean, this is the first year.
What about Louisville?
Louisville's got a lot to figure out. But Louisville's got okay. to bounce back. Louisville's – I've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
Much like when we talk football,
mm-hmm.
Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, they don't need to be good in football for the league. For hoops, Louisville has to be good.
Yeah.
Louisville's got to be one of those schools that is rocking and rolling. And, you know, I think between the AD, the president, the unknown of the NCAA,
what you
do with your head coach and hoops, there's so many – variables floating around right now in Derby City. But Louisville needs to be good for our league.
We have one more note in Best of the Weekend.
Get it right, too. NC State Nation, this is for you.
On the sheet, it says Carlos Rodon of NC State has signed with baseball's best team.
That's right. There's a typo on the Best of the Weekend on the screen. It says with the Giants. I mean, that's technically correct. But the team that won 107 last year.
And Carlos didn't win Rodon. The World Series, by the way.
That's okay. You know, we were better for 7 months as opposed to somebody got lucky for 3 weeks.
Carlos Rodon is now a member of the Giants.
You better believe it.
You can expect updates.
Elliot Avent, my
every
buddy,
day.
My soulmate, Elliot Avent, will be talking. Carlos Rodon striking out the National League.
If he
West.
Wanted to win a World Series, he could have come to Atlanta.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you did have 1-1 this century. That's nice. It's cute. I mean, it's nice. I mean, they're the defending world champions. I respect that. You know why? Because they eliminated the America's hatred of the Dodgers.
So you were pulling for the Braves.
I was.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it was not the Dodgers.
That's right. America hates the Dodgers.
America hates the Dodgers, yeah. All right. Best of the weekend complete. When we come, the good news for worst of the weekend is it's not that long a list. The bad news is there's still a list. We need to have one weekend where we come out and we don't have any worst of the weekend.
Well, why don't you do that list?
Well, we got to find a weekend first. We don't have anything bad happen. We'll get back to you after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
A Thursday night pack. I got an idea. Spring football. The Jackets in Midtown. Beer garden in the end zone at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Chris Cotter, Roddy Jones, LaRisha Harris have the call of the Jackets spring game at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. St. Paddy's Day in Midtown at the Georgia Tech spring game.
Never too early for football.
No, sir. And we got all of them right here for you on ACC Network. Coming out of the gate, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, and Louisville, all before the Final Four. How about that? And then we really kick it in the second weekend in April. That weekend, I think April 9th is the day.
Masters weekend.
Huge weekend of ACC spring games. In fact, on the 9th, I think we have 7 games. We're going to have like 5 live and then 4 on tape.
Beautiful.
3 on tape, something like that. All right. Worst of the weekend.
Yep.
Not a long list.
I try to keep it short. I try to accent the positives from the weekend and then hit just the main items.
All right.
The worst.
Wake Forest missing out. That's at the top
Swiss
here.
Rolled. Yeah. that's what I termed it. Swiss okay. Rolled. You know, terrific year, right? I mean, Forbes and his guys, Alondis Williams, ACC Player of the Year, Forbes Coach of the Year, and it just didn't quite have enough meat on the bone down the stretch.
Right.
And that's unfortunate. But the good news is you got some NIT basketball. They can make a deep run if they are motivated to play.
Mm-hmm.
But that loss to BC in the ACC tournament was a real dagger. That was a tough one.
And as it turned out, we said this in hour one, Wake probably not only had to beat BC, I think they probably had to beat Miami too.
Yeah, right, there's no doubt. But you just could not afford a one and done. And that's unfortunately what happened in Brooklyn.
Carolina makes this list because they were 3 of 26 from behind the line against Virginia Tech. And there are a lot of schools on the list that if you don't shoot it well from three, you're not going to win. Boy, but seemingly when the Tar Heels struggle to shoot it from three, it is a little bit more glaring. Right?
To put things in perspective, the final three wins for the Hokies in the ACC tournament were against the top three seeds, right? North Carolina, Duke, Notre Dame.
Yep.
Those three teams went 14 of 65 from three. That is 20.
Against Virginia Tech.
Yeah. 21%. Whoa. Those three teams. The three best teams. The one, the two, the three seed. 14 of 65 from beyond the arc against the Hokies in Brooklyn.
So that got Carolina on the list.
Yeah, 3 of 26, brutal. I mean, you made three more than Chester and Fuller. That's it.
And they ain't shooting this morning.
Nope.
Coach K's curtain call at the ACC tournament does not go according to the script. And I have always kind of said this a little bit about sports. No matter how you try, you cannot write it. It rarely goes to the book, right? John Shire, this is how you play defense.
Well, you know, that was a timeout 30 seconds into the second half, and Kay did not like what he saw. Yep. Turnover and Ole defense, and he's like, uh-uh, we just talked about this for 15 minutes. Give me a timeout.
Right.
He chewed him.
Yep.
And I'll be honest with you, Duke defensively, I didn't think was great in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I mean, that Syracuse game could have gone the other way. Cuse was up one with 3 minutes to go. But give Virginia Tech all the credit, man. The best team won the tournament.
Yeah, there are a lot of efficiency numbers about Duke's defensive play in the last couple of weeks, and they're all not very good.
Iffy at best.
Yeah, so the Blue Devils will be trying to get it locked down by the time they take the floor in Greenville this week. Clemson's baseball win streak snapped at 14.
Had won 14-0 to get things started. Yeah. That pesky team from Northeastern who swept the Wolfpack the week before got them yesterday. Couple of errors. Yeah. Tigers off to a pretty good start, though. Omani Lee kind of having a year that needs to have a good bounce back year after last year, Wes. Tigers have been pretty good early.
How about Northeastern, huh? Coming south a couple of weeks in a row? Right?
Like I said, they just swept NC State and got one from the Tigers.
Yeah, so there you go. Saw the Huskies in the airport going to Brooklyn the other day.
Is that right?
Yeah, sure did. Boys getting off the plane.
How was your coming flight, by the way? Mine was delayed, American Airlines.
Coming home to Atlanta on Friday?
Ugh.
Perfect.
Mine was brutal.
NC State's Tommy White continues to be in the home run doldrums here, Pack.
What's going on here? My man hit 9 right out of the gate.
Well, and now all of a sudden the Irish took 2 from the Wolfpack over the weekend. And
State's lost 6 of their last 7.
Oh.
So we need to get my man Elliot Avent juiced up and ready to roll here. Wolfpack gotten off to a little bit of a sluggish start here the last week and a half. But Tommy White, you know, we were asked the question the other day after he hit 9, how many games would it be till he hit 20 or whatever it was?
That's going to be a while.
You know, apparently, eventually teams figure out, hey, I'm not going to pitch the old 47.
Yeah.
We'll figure this thing out later down the road.
There you go. Georgia Tech softball, they had great crowds at Mewburn Field in Atlanta over the weekend. But Florida State goes in there and gets the sweep.
I looked this up, Wes. Because I had a note. I went through my old show notes this weekend, and I ran across a note that had been so long since Georgia Tech's beaten Florida State in softball. We are now on April 15th, 2012, to my notes. Last time Georgia Tech beat Florida State in softball. Let that marinate a second.
Wow.
I know Lonnie's got a great team, but don't you just kind of luck into one every now and then? Just one? Just saying. Boy, Florida State's good. We got some softball teams in this league too, boys.
That's one of them right there. That crowd, capable. UVA, we had Brian O'Connor on last week. The baseball win streak snapped at 14 games over the weekend. They had a series with Duke.
I believe that was another one of our questions. Mm-hmm. Would they sweep? I didn't think they would.
Yeah.
Duke got them in the final game.
Yeah. So there you go.
Who's off to good? So we got about six or seven baseball teams.
Pretty
good.
Got a
chance.
Yep.
Got a chance.
I think you're right there. Be interesting to watch that unfold. Keep an eye on that as we work our way through postseason basketball for you on both the men's and women's side. Speaking of that, Jeff Wall is coming up here in just moments, and then Hunter Couture, and in the 9 o'clock hour, Courtney Banghart will be here as well.
You think that Hokie crowd had a good time getting back to town? Huh?
From Brooklyn?
You think they had a good time celebrating that?
Man, I think they'll have a good time going to the NCAA tournament, too.
Man, Hokie Nation.
I don't think that'll be a problem at all for
you know, Mrs.
folks.
P was gone this week.
Milwaukee will be right in their wheelhouse this week.
Mrs. P was gone this week down in your town in ATL.
Down to the ATL.
And she was so ecstatic. And normally, my wife is
low-key.
Low-key. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look for anything. She doesn't want to be on television. She doesn't like any of that nonsense. And even when it comes to sports, like she said, when I was at Virginia Tech, we just weren't very good in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Man, she was so fired up about Virginia Tech basketball.
Yeah,
she could not believe. God, we looked so good. I said, yeah, they were playing great basketball.
It's been since Greensboro's Wayne Robinson that they've done anything like this.
Well, she said, you know, when I was in school there, you know, Hokie spirit, we just weren't very good. We weren't in the ACC, and we didn't do this. The football
was
down.
Coach Dooley coaching up at football, being the AD. Come on now.
She's fired up, though.
Yeah. All right, sit tight. On the other side, we go off to Derby City. Jeff Wall's getting ready for an NCAA tournament appearance. We're going to talk to him about being the top seed and playing in his own building, among other things. And what does he know about Albany? Ready to ride against the Danes? We'll talk to him next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Not only is that dog walking music, that's walk-up music for our next guest.
You know,
Jeff Walls.
Our producer says they all sound the same.
He'd be wrong.
I know he would.
And rude.
Yeah, and rude. There you go. Let's go, shall we? Off to Louisville, there is the head coach of the Cards, Jeff Walls. Number one seed, gets Albany in the first round in his own building. He's in the Wichita Regional. Good to see you. Thank you for the time, as always.
Thank you.
Anything surprise you yesterday? Anything?
No, I mean, I was hoping Boston College would get in, you know, for another team from our league. That's one that I kept waiting to see pop up. But I know Joanna will do a great job to get her team prepared and playing well in the NIT. But besides that, no, I mean, nothing really surprised me, especially now that they do the reveals early. So you kind of know what region that you're probably going to be put into. We knew going into yesterday, we'd either probably be a one or a two, depending on that Baylor-Texas game. Mm-hmm. And with Texas pulling off the win, that kind of, I think, pushed us back up and to stay at the one seed line.
I'll give you $20. You can tell me what time you tip off.
I'd give you $50 if you could tell me. If past history repeats itself, you know, we're always in the top three or four in the country in attendance. So that would mean we'll probably have an 11 a.m. tip time on Friday. That would be my guess.
Well, the good news is you got a Packer and Durham mug. So
hey, you got
good.
A mug? What are you worried about? You got a mug? Yeah.
Well, that's a if we tip before noon, I promise you I will have this on the bench right on the scores table for tip time. And who knows what could be in it.
There you go.
Well, being from Louisville, I got a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
But it is, you are working, so maybe we have to put that back for the celebration.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right.
Okay, let's talk about your team. I know you were disappointed in the quarterfinal loss in Greensboro. What have you talked to your team about, Jeff, since that game? Just, I mean, you knew this was going to happen. You didn't know if you were one or a two, but you knew you were going to host. You knew you were going to be a factor in the NCAA tournament. So when that game happens, how do you process that development with your team before you get to Albany on Friday?
Well, we've already talked about that, addressed it. I take the blame for that. That game on that quarterfinal game was my fault. We're up 15, had a what I thought was a commanding lead, was playing well. In the last 4.5 minutes, I had some combinations on the floor that I normally don't have on the floor. And that's because I was trying. I got ahead of myself, and unfortunately, we learn as coaches too as you go through games, and tried to get some players some rest. We had some nicks and scrapes here or there that was trying to make sure we could hopefully be fresh for that game on Saturday. And then you get that, then you're playing in the conference championship on Sunday. But you've got to give Miami all the credit in the world. Mm-hmm. Katie did a great job. Those kids came out and they kept fighting. And the one thing about college athletics is Uncle Mo, as we like to say, when that momentum starts rolling, it's hard to stop. And mm-hmm. just look at all the crazy games on the men's side throughout the conference tournaments. I mean, Michigan's up 18 in the second half. Indiana comes back and wins. There's a 20-point game here. Team comes back and wins. It's something that, I learned a ton from. So as a team, I told them I was proud of how they played. I did a poor job coaching the last 4.5 minutes.
What do you know about Albany?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I'll keep it real with you. I will know. I'll know a whole bunch here in about two hours.
Okay.
As we start breaking everything down, I'm not one to, for the week we've had off. I'm not one to try to figure out who we're going to play and start breaking down six different opponents that we feel could be the first round matchup. So we just worked on ourselves. We had a good 4 days of practice. We took about 3 days off and really just focused on us, half court execution, end of game situations, things like that. But it's going to be fun, and our kids are excited to play.
Coach, when we get to this time of year, and we hear it when we talk to the student athletes, I mean, this basketball season is a grind. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. I mean, you guys have been going now for a long, long time. Do you get a sense from a mental standpoint that kids just need to get away from the game? Whether you won the ACC tournament or got knocked out in the first day, it really doesn't matter. I mean, do you get to the point now that really the most refreshing thing is to get away from the sport that you love so much?
Well, at this time of year right now, to be honest, the excitement is back. The energy of seeing our kids last night when the draw came out, who we're playing, what the bracket looks like, you can see just new energy, excitement, and they are ready to go. And that's what makes it fun, because we really had a good week of practice last week, and that was exciting to see, knowing, that it has been a long year. I mean, you start in the spring. You as soon as the season's over with, you give them a few weeks off, and then you're right back at it. And it's what these kids do, but you are right. They do need a break at times, and that's why we took off Friday and Saturday, came in on Monday. I think we took Tuesday off and then again took off on Sunday. So tried to give them as much time off as we could, but we're fortunate to have players that really want to be in the gym. They just love the game.
I want to pivot to big picture here for a moment. I mean, we know this league got 8 teams in the field. We could go a half hour on NC State and Bridgeport and all the mechanics behind that. But I want to go on this, and this catches me the wrong way. Why are there 3-5 seeds? Why can't we have Carolina host? Why can't we have Notre Dame host? Why can't we have, what's the difference in the 5 and 4 in those worlds this morning, Jeff?
You know what? That's really a good question. I mean, I thought for sure that we'd have either Carolina Notre Dame or Virginia Tech as a four seed hosting. I really did, at least one of them. Mm-hmm. And to see three of them come up as a five, I was kind of surprised with that. But I do know I wouldn't want to be the four playing them, you know, or the 12 starting off. You know, you have to get by that first game. And all three of those teams are really, really good. Miami, I know what they can do. And I'm telling you, Georgia Tech is the one that you don't want to sleep on. It's a ball club that they only had like 7-8 deep the entire year. So I think as the year went on, they got a little tired. But now having that break between the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament, it won't surprise me if UC Tech playing some really good basketball now that I think they'll be fresh again.
Jeff, what's the one thing that has to happen for Louisville to cut down the nets in this tournament? That must happen.
Well, we have to value the basketball, and we've got to come up with stops. I mean, defensively, we are a really good basketball team, but, you know, our Miami game and Carolina game were two games that we had the lead with a minute left in the game, and we normally come up with big stops, and unfortunately we didn't in those games. And if we want the opportunity to cut the nets down, we're going to have to come up with stops in the fourth quarter when it's crunch time.
I want to ask you about a theory I heard last night, where sometimes people say defense wins championships, but in your game in particular, it seems that scoring wins championships. The ability to put points on, and it sounds simplistic, but when you get in this environment, is scoring undervalued to the success you can ultimately have in the event?
Yes, there's no question about it. I know everybody talks defense wins championship. I've never seen a championship final score of 1-0. So you got to score points. You know, I say it all the time. Back in our first two Final Fours that we went to and lost to UConn in the championship game, everybody used to talk about how good UConn defended. And I used to tell them, I go, it's their offense that makes their defense so good, because they score at such a high percent that if you come down the floor for over a 5-minute stretch and you're 2-for-8, 2-for-9, you're down 10 points.
Right.
Because UConn was shooting 50% or better the entire season. And I think because their offense was so good, it made their defense better, because it put that much more pressure on you at the offensive end. So we are big. I think offensive execution at this time of the year is just as important, if not even more important, than being able to defend.
Coach, your program's in the news. Staff change coming your way. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, excited for Sam. Sam Purcell was named the new head women's basketball coach at Mississippi State. Really, really excited for Sam. He's been here for 9 years, done a remarkable job, and now him and his family are getting a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, Sam's going to finish out the year here. We had talked about that, and, you know, he doesn't want to stop something that we've started. And it's a great opportunity, you know, for him to be on the bench still, be a part of things. But I think hopefully if we can do what we're supposed to do here and win some games, he'll get a lot of recognition, you know, during our games as the next head women's basketball coach at Mississippi State. So that's not going to do anything but help build their brand and give him some national exposure.
All right. Now, let's be honest. Is he going to go open collared shirt, or is he going to go bow tie down in Starkville? Because I got to believe you kind of got to loosen it up a little bit down there, don't you?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if Sam comes out in a tux. You know, he's going to have his own flair to it. So nothing's going to surprise me with that man.
Tell you what, tuxedos and start Vegas.
Yeah, that'll be it.
I don't know about that deal.
Yeah, no. Maybe white patent leather shoes while he's at it, huh? There you go.
Congratulations on another number one seed. Best of luck. We look forward to it.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate y'all.
All right, Jeff Walls, head coach at Louisville. Always fun to visit with. On the other side, the MVP. the winner of the Everett Case Award as the most valuable player in the ACC tournament. Orlando's Hunter Couture. Far cry from those high school quarterbacking days, huh, Pack? We'll talk to Zero next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. It is a Monday edition. 584 is your lucky number today, by the way. 584. You ready to roll?
Yeah, let's go to Blacksburg.
MVP.
Yeah, I want to talk to the former quarterback at Bishop Moore in Orlando this morning. Hunter Couture joins us, winner of the Everett Case Award. We're a long way from quarterbacking at Bishop Moore, don't you think? I mean, Monday morning, MVP of the ACC tournament, winner of one of the most prestigious awards the conference has. And, I mean, come on, you're thinking about spring ball in Florida, quarterback in Bishop Moore, is that what we're doing? No chance, right?
No, not right now.
Yeah. Does all this seem real, Hunter?
No, it honestly hasn't kicked in yet. It still kind of feels like a dream. Even seeing all the confetti coming down and coming back to Blacksburg, seeing everyone being here waiting for us to get off the bus, it still feels like a dream.
By the way, what was that scene like in Blacksburg coming home?
It was crazy. I mean, as soon as we got off the bus, there was people there all the way walking into our practice facility. So it was cool to see all the support. And just really get to like see how Virginia Tech supports their student athletes.
Hunter, was there a point in time in this run in Brooklyn where you got a sense that, hey, you know what? We're the best team here. We're playing better than everybody in the league. Did you ever get that feeling?
I think we had that feeling going into the first game. I think we kind of knew the type of team we were, and we knew that we could go make a run in this tournament, especially being on the bubble. We kind of didn't want to leave any questions after if we were going to be in the tournament or not. We kind of want to just go take it.
In some ways, and I'm going to ask this, I'm trying to ask this the right way. Did the regular season finale at Clemson help you in Brooklyn?
I think it did. I think it proved to us that you just can't take games off. You know, I don't think we played the best we could at Clemson, and I think we knew that. I mean, the last 2 months, every game has seemed like a must-win game for us being on the bubble. So going into Brooklyn, I think it just gave us that more of a sense of urgency to go out there, and we just can't take games off.
You know, you guys are loaded with a bunch of dudes that can light it up. When you made the first shot against Duke, did you get a sense of, hey, you know what? Basket's looking pretty large tonight here in Brooklyn. I mean, tell me as a shooter what that felt like.
Yeah, I did. As soon as I made my first one, it felt good. Second one felt good. And after that, I just felt like I was just out there having fun, just playing basketball as a kid.
Well, okay. So do you have a feel in warm-ups? Because I'm with you especially because when Corey Alexander and I were in Blacksburg, he was giving you a bad time about making threes, right? And, you know, that's typical Corey stuff. But do you have a sense in warm-ups of what kind of game it's going to be, or does the first one kind of have to go down, Hunter?
I think the first one has to go down because I've had many games where warm-ups I feel like I'm going to break the record and make 10 threes and I end up only making one. And then there's some where I'm not making anything in warm-ups and end up hitting 5 threes. So I think, honestly, warm-ups, it goes back and forth. So you kind of just have to not think about it. And as soon as you get in the game, just get in a rhythm there.
You know, that game got off to such a great start, really, for both teams. I mean, that first TV timeout, you're like, man, first to 100, on your mark, get set, go. I think it probably also lends to the mindset, hey, tonight we got to be gone. Man, we can't afford a 4 or 5 minute lull against this team, right? Because you guys absolutely pushed it all night long.
Yeah, definitely. I felt that going to the first media. I felt like we were just going shot for shot. And it was just going to be a high-scoring game, but we knew that Duke has some talented players, and it's going to be hard to go shot for shot with them, that you're going to have to get some defensive stops. So that was a key emphasis going into halftime, just saying that we can't just keep trading baskets. We got to get stops on the defensive end.
So it was as much about the start of the second half as anything else in the ball game, you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely going up, being up three, I think going into halftime, we knew the first 4 minutes of the second half were going to be key. Just not letting him go on a run and really just keeping our composure.
So did it feel like the early Duke timeout in the second half, you were already starting to build it a little bit? What was it, 45 seconds into the second half, Coach K bangs that timeout. Did you feel like, okay, now we've got it where we want to go?
Yeah, I think so. I think he called that timeout just to kind of get his group together and say, like, hey, like, because I think they turned it over first and we went and got a bucket. And I think he was just getting into his team saying, like, we can't start the half like that. So we knew they were going to have a punch back, and we just had to be ready for it.
I hear coaches all the time give the old 24-hour rule after a win. You celebrate it and you move on. Man, given what you guys accomplished last week, I know there's the excitement about getting into the NCAA tournament, but how quickly did Coach remind you, hey, what we did is great, but now let's turn the page?
Yeah, I think it'll be a key emphasis today in practice. You know, I think yesterday we had a good day off celebrating, got to get back here. But I think today in practice he's going to say, like, whatever we did last week was great, but it's time to turn the page to the NCAA tournament.
All right, Hunter, I'm going to there are a couple things about Saturday I want to ask you about. One, Storm Murphy fascinates me only because – and he, like you and some other guys, you know, you were ticketed for smaller schools, and that's a storyline that's going to be brought up about your team in the week going forward. I mean, when you guys get to the presser in the NCAA, you're going to be sick of being asked about, you know, being recruited and signing and all this other stuff. Murphy in a pregame warm-up, though – looks like he has run in front of a fire hose when he's done. It's unbelievable. When Storm finishes warming up before a game, it looks like he's played three games. Is that mm-hmm. just what he has to do to become Storm Murphy during the game?
I think so. And we had to tell him at the beginning of the year, it's like you gotta calm down in warm-ups. He's out there sweating bullets before you even get out there. But, yeah, that's just who he is. He's a hard worker, and he's going to do everything 110%. So I think that's just who he is.
All right. Now, when the game starts, does he flip some sort of switch? Because, you know, he's pretty nice, but during a game, he looks like a real pain in the rear, Hunter. I mean, he looks like he's a problem for people.
Yeah, I guess so. And me and him get into it all the time. We'll be in huddles, and sometimes he'll just start losing it and start talking a lot, and I'll be like, Storm, you got to come back down, calm down. But, yeah, it's all fun.
We were kidding around with you before the interview started. Man, the family got some serious FaceTime.
Oh, my God. Mom is, like, rolling. Come on now. Let's give Mom some love here, Hunter. Come on. She didn't get enough on Saturday night, right?
She didn't. I guess she had a bunch. I had a bunch of people sending me videos and pictures of her in the stands right behind the bench. But she was loving it. She was there with her grandkids. My sister lives in New Jersey, so it was about a 2-hour drive there. So they got to be there too. So she was. It was cool for her to be there.
All right. So you get back on campus. You celebrate a little bit yesterday. You know, practice is today. And oh, by the way, there's a thing called school. So you got class coming up here in about a half an hour. Tell folks what's going on in class.
So I'll be going to Intro to Collaborative Tech. I actually take it with Naheem, and it's basically it's an elective class, and it's acting. So we do like little exercises and skits throughout the whole class, and it's funny to do with him just because we've been good friends ever since freshman year, and we're kind of like the only athletes in that class, so it's just a little out of our comfort zone.
So with that said, do you think given what you guys pulled in Brooklyn, you're probably going to catch some love today at 9:30 sharp?
We might. I don't know. It depends.
Dude, you're going to get a standing ovation when you walk in the classroom. I mean, seriously.
That would be cool.
Yeah, no, well, get ready for cool. And you can tweet us back. if you get the standing O when you walk into class, you heard it here first. I mean, I just know
I'll take a video and I'll send it to y'all.
Well, there you go.
And by the way, what's the name of the professor? Who's the name? What's his name? Her name?
We call him Mason. I don't know his last name. We just call him Mason.
All right. Well, if he's watching, he just got some more love. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're trying to help the GPA here a little bit. You know, worst case scenario is the professor knows you're talking about him on national television. It can't be a bad thing, especially if it's an elective.
Yeah, get a little extra credit.
That's it.
All right. Exactly right. Men's and women's teams going to the NCAA tournament from Blacksburg. That's pretty good, right? That's got to be pretty cool. You guys support the heck out of that program. I know that. That's got to be fun for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's crazy just knowing they're a great team. I love watching them. I love supporting Coach Brooks and that team. But it is cool as a basketball program for the girls and boys to have both teams go back-to-back years, and I'm excited to watch them in the tournament. They're really good. They got a 5 seed, and I expect them to go really far.
By the way, what do you know about Texas?
Not much. I haven't watched them that much. I know my one of my friends back home, Kai Jones, played there a couple years ago. He's in the league now. But other than that, Nah, we'll probably watch film on them today and get a better feel for them.
All right. Hunter Couture, winner of the – hey, by the way, do you understand the Everett case history that you set? I mean, three times now, like in the last, what, 6 years? You, Michael DeVoe of Georgia Tech, Joel Berry of Carolina in 2016, last three winners of the Everett Case Award who were not selected to any All-ACC teams. It's happened three times in 7 years. Kind of speaks to some of the play in this league, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's actually funny because all three of us are from Orlando, so that's actually pretty cool.
How about that?
There you go.
There's a little nugget. And congratulations to you and your team. And you guys really
awesome.
Put on an amazing show in Brooklyn. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all.
All right. Hunter Couture, congratulations. Good luck in class. And don't forget to video when they're on their feet when you cats walk in the door. Appreciate it, man.
I got you. Thank you.
All right. Heck of an effort. He's right. All three are from Orlando.
Pretty cool.
Joel's from Apopka, though.
It counts.
Give it a
that counts. Neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a neighborhood. 9 o'clock hour coming up. We'll review the brackets on both the men's and women's side for the ACC. Courtney Banghart going to be here at 9:30. Is that against her better judgment, by the way?
No, it's not. Courtney's her, man, this would be her seventh appearance.
Courtney, I'm all down for it, but don't get me wrong. I mean, you know.
Closing in on the mug.
All right. Yeah, closing in on the mug. We'll come back, check brackets. Thoughts and more coming up next. Packer and Durham on a Monday on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.